In his second inaugural address, Abraham Lincoln said, "Neither party, North or South, expected for the war the magnitude or the duration which it has already attained. Neither anticipated that the cause of the conflict, slavery, might cease with or even before the conflict itself should cease. Each looked for an easier triumph and a result less fundamental and astounding. Both read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other. It may seem strange that any men should dare to ask a just God's assistance in wringing their bread from the sweat of other men's faces, but let us judge not that we be not judged. The prayers of both could not be answered. That of neither has been answered fully. The Almighty has his own purpose. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes," Jesus said. Now listen. "If we shall discern therein any departure from those divine attributes which suppose that American slavery is one of those offenses which, in the providence of God, must needs come, but which, having continued through his appointed time, he now wills to remove, and that he gives to both North and South this terrible war as the woe due to those by whom the offense came, shall we discern therein any departure from those divine attributes which the believers in a living God always ascribe to him? Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with the sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. I suppose at one level, I understand the flood similarly. Mankind had grown so immoral that the offenses of man against man, man against creation, and man against God flooded back upon his own head. It may for a time appear differently, but evil is not without effect. The environment begins to show it, and we and our neighbors do too. Long delayed may be the deluge of our sins, but the flood waters find us, as the waters of war found both North and South, by whom the offense of slavery came. And while Lincoln hoped and prayed the war would speedily cease, but conceded the righteous judgments of God might permit it to continue until every drop of blood drawn with the lash from the slave shall be paid by another drawn with the sword of the soldier, I suspect even he didn't foresee that war lasting until our day in such different and destructive ways. Abhorrent though American slavery was, it forms but a 250-year slice of world history. Adding in the repercussions since then brings us to just over 400 years. What would the flood of mankind's complete history be for every enslavement there ever was? For every offense against the environment? For every misuse of power, for every genocide and ethnic cleansing, for the death camps and the gulags, for indifference of the impoverished, for persecuting or belittling religious folks either in our country or in China or the Middle East, to say nothing about unfaithfulness and offenses against God or any number of other crimes. If Lincoln saw the Civil War as the wages of the sin of slavery, what will the wages of 60 million U.S. abortions be? What would the flood be for mankind's complete history? It was a sheer act of mercy and forbearance that God hung up his archer's bow in the clouds. In Hebrew, there is one word for rainbow and archer's bow. It's a figurative way of saying, it seems to me, that God will do something to prevent the waters of our own woe from drowning us all. And it's precisely this something that Jesus announced in our gospel. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What God long ago promised to do, he is doing now. The kingdom in which all things are set right is at hand. It has entered into time and has been made visible in the person of Jesus, in whom heaven and earth have been reconciled. The waters of God's righteous judgment on the whole of mankind have been poured upon his head. God has been faithful to his covenant. The bow of his righteousness was not bent against us, but against his own son, our representative, whose faithfulness ended not in being dead and drowned, but in the new life which was prefigured in the flood of old. This is why St. Peter said that baptism saves you. Through it, you've been associated with the new life of Christ. You've been brought into him, into the ark of his body, the church. This ritual washing is not about ridding our body of dirt, as Peter said, but it's an appeal or a pledge to maintain a clear conscience. That's the repentance Jesus preached. Change your mind and your heart to match his. Be faithful to the new covenant in Christ's blood, for there will be no other one to come, for no other one is necessary if you collaborate with him. Such collaboration with God, setting things right, is the mission of the Christian for this life. It's your mission, which Lincoln himself seems to have echoed at the end of his address. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. Amen.